And to do that, we've got Mike Clay of ESPN on with us. Mike, thank you for the time. How are you?
I'm pretty good, guys. You know, today we did on the Fantasy Focus podcast, we did our hot takes, and we had to drink slash eat some hot sauce as we made our hottest takes. And if you hear some like loud noises, that's probably my inside screaming at me. But otherwise, pretty good.
If your voice starts cracking, it's the hot sauce making an appearance. We get it. Let's talk Commanders first, because you get kind of day five of our series here. We've gone through a bunch of the positions so we can hop around more. What are your thoughts on some of Washington's stalwarts as fantasy players, and who are your sleepers for them?
Yeah, I mean, the stalwarts certainly, it starts with Jaden Daniels, one of my favorite targets in draft this season. I think he very well could lead the position in fantasy points, and if he's the first quarterback off the board in your draft, that's not wild at all. I mean, he definitely has that ceiling. So he's been one of my favorite targets this season. I feel like, I do a lot of work on touchdown regression to the mean. I know Terry McLaurin's touchdown rate is going to be hard to sustain last season, but he's still a great player and going to be a big part of a high-scoring offense. So I found myself drafting him quite a bit. And then, of course, you know, the big name lately, as you guys know, is Bill Crosby-Merritt. That's the guy that's generating a lot of hype. I think that we're going to see, maybe you guys could, talk on this a little bit for those listening, but, you know, I think Austin Eckler will have a pretty substantial role early on, but there's a reason they traded Brian Robinson and Crosby-Merritt. I imagine will have a pretty substantial role that could grow within the first few weeks of the season. So he's been a terrific mid-round flyer the last few weeks.
Yeah, I was going to follow up there, and Mike, where's an appropriate spot to draft Crosby-Merritt? I mean, here in D.C., the hype train has left the station. I mean, people have, you know, enshrined him, put a gold jacket on him, and decided he's you know, the next bit of sliced bread here. But I just don't know how many targets or how big the share is going to be, because you mentioned it. Daniels has to eat. Eckler's going to eat. I imagine Chris Rodriguez gets some carries, maybe steal some touchdowns away, et cetera. Where do you think he probably should go, and where have you seen him going?
Yeah, so I have him ranked 29th at running back right now. I'm looking at a guy who obviously is risky and maybe isn't a much of a fantasy commodity right out of the gate in terms of the touch volume, but I expect that to change within time. There's a reason that you move on from Robinson, because you feel like this guy can make some explosive plays. So it's just one of the things, like once in a while you see a day three or undrafted rookie generate some hype. And oftentimes there's a reason that happens, and those guys earn a pretty decent workload. So we've seen it in recent years. Isaiah Pacheco being a great example in Kansas City followed a similar trajectory. And so I'm buying into it in that capacity. So I'd say mid-round, you know, you're looking at a 12-team league. We're talking around 8th, 9th round. I think that's a fine area to strike on a guy that could be a league winner.
Mike Clay, ESPN NFL Fantasy, is with us on Grant and Danny. Going back to pass catchers for a moment, just a few rapid-fire things you could hit on these guys. Terry McLaurin not having an offseason, basically. Your concerns there. Also, Deebo Samuel's involvement. Is he interesting to you? Last year was kind of ugly statistically, but he's had a wonderful camp. And then Zach Ertz, quietly, second half last year, was dynamite for them. Had an 11-catch, 100-yard game in the NFC Championship game the last time we saw him. Your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, no doubt. Terry McLaurin, I mean, I bought the dip on him in fantasy drafts. Some people were worried about the contract. Again, I do expect the touchdowns to come down, and I'd like to see more targets from him. You know, he's finished exactly 19th at receiver in targets 3 years in a row. You know, for a guy we're drafting in the fourth round, we want a little bit more volume out of him so he could sustain that fantasy production. But I think he's fine where he's going. As for Deebo, you know, a very interesting wild card. I mean, this is a guy that's never played a full regular season in the NFL. But there's definitely plenty of touches to be had in this offense, especially if they utilize him to some capacity as a rusher, as the 49ers did. And again, he's not super expensive, 7th-round ADP, maybe a little rich for me, but he can definitely pay that off. So no issues there. And I'm glad you brought up Zach Ertz, because, look, he's 34. He's basically the second oldest fantasy-relevant, we'll say, tight end behind only Travis Kelce. Had quite the renaissance last season. My only question here is, you know, a couple of years ago when he was in Arizona, Trey McBride in his second year, at some point during that season, took Zach Ertz's job to the point that Ertz was just waived and ended up on Detroit's practice squad that year. And I'm wondering if at some point this season we're going to start to see a little bit wear down there from 34-year-old Ertz and a little bit more of Ben Sinnott down the stretch. That's the only reason I don't have much late round interest in Ertz. He's very similar to a lot of tight ends, but it would also not shock me if the first month or two of the season he continues to produce as he did last season.
Who are some guys, and Mike Clay with us here on Grant and Danny, that you just simply will not have on your roster this year, despite maybe good prognostications or good projections and maybe against your better judgment? Who are some guys you're just avoiding?
Yeah, I would say I'm looking at the Jets offense for a lot. I mean, I think that Justin Fields is fine because he runs the ball, but it's the other guys that I think are going to be hurt in what should be a really low-volume offense. That starts with Garrett Wilson. I mean, I have him ranked right around 20, but I just haven't found myself drafting him very often because I think that's the ceiling. You know, if you look at Fields' career, you look at his every game he's played in full and look at his pass attempts, it's right around 25 per game. That would have ranked dead last in the NFL last season. So it's going to be really hard for Wilson to get his first ever top 20 season in points per game when he's, you know, not going to get he was top seven in targets all three of those seasons, and he didn't pull off a top 20. How is he going to do that now in a low volume offense? I have a hard time seeing it. So I think he kind of caps out right where he's going in draft. So not super interested in him. And then Breece Hall, you know, similar kind of concerns in this offense that might not score a lot, but also Braylon Allen is coming on strong. He was a very young rookie last year. They like him a lot. There's a lot of hype. We could see Isaiah Davis mixed in that offense as well. So neither of those guys. And then I'll give you one more, Jared Goffett. Quarterback, you know, he's a guy that finished sixth last year in raw points because he was upright the whole season. But that was his first ever finish better than 10th in points per game. And he's really been, you know, despite the fact that the Lions have scored a ton of points the last three seasons, is barely hanging on as a fringe QB1. And now Ben Johnson's gone. The interior of that offensive line is probably the biggest concern on the roster, which is saying a lot considering the health issues on defense. So I think Goff comes back to earth this year, and I'd stay away from him in the single-digit rounds, which is where he's going.
Mike, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. I have a Ryan Matthews rule. And
oh boy.
So back in the day, every year that I owned Ryan Matthews, he was just dog water, like ruined my fantasy season, either borderline end of first round or second round pick, and he played like three games. The years I didn't have him, I would lose to the team that did. Like, thinking about guys like that can kill you because of the variance. It could be plays two games or is dominant against you when you avoid drafting him. Kind of thinking about McCaffrey this year, but maybe some other guys that might fit that bill that might Ryan Matthews somebody.
Yeah, that's so funny because I was going to say that sounds an awful lot like Christian McCaffrey conversation this season. So that's so funny that you mentioned him. I think that, that's a heck of a question. I will say, how about someone, you know, recently that, you know, has had some injury issues, but when he's played, he's been really good. How about Ken Walker up in Seattle? I think he's a fascinating case this season. Again, when he's healthy and involved in Seattle, he's been a high-end producer, but he continues to miss time. And this year he's missed a lot of off-season activities, and Zach Charbonnet's looked pretty good. And I've moved Walker down my rankings a little bit. He's going in the fourth round, because I think Charbonnet might play more than we think. It is a new regime up there in Seattle as well. So he's one, again, you know, if you draft him last year, probably a little frustrated because he was out of the lineup so much. And this year, maybe you don't take him and he takes back the lead back job. So he's one. I would say Isaiah Pacheco in Kansas City as well. He burned you last year, and this year maybe you're avoiding. And then what if he takes back that job? No, he's healthy. What if he takes back the lead back job in Kansas City and produces how he was before that, which was, you know, basically at a good RB2 level in fantasy. So probably a couple guys like that. I don't know if that helps you, but there's a couple names that are a little bit of a head scratcher.
Mike, I always end my draft with defense. It's become kicker for me, and then I stream based on matchup all season long. Am I leaving too much on the table by not trying to jump out in front and get the Texans, Ravens, Broncos, Eagles, somebody like that?
No, absolutely not. Look, six of the last eight seasons, this stat applies to both defense and kicker, six of the last eight seasons, the top scoring at that position finished outside the top 10 the next year. It is a high variance position. It changes like wildfire every year. It's very hard to repeat as a top kicker or defense due to a variety of reasons. So you're playing it the right way. Kickers, I'll cut them every week for waiver ads to hold insurance backs on my bench, whatever it is. And then defenses, you have it right. You stream it. You know, a big part of how a defense performs is the offense they're playing. It's the matchup. So that's always something that has to be considered. And I do the same thing. I stream basically in every league, unless I hit a home run. If you hit a lottery ticket, you wait till the last round, you got like Minnesota last year, you're fine. You know, you can use them most weeks, but otherwise I'm streaming the whole season.
Mike, informative stuff, man. Really appreciate the time today. Thank you.
You got it, fellas.